Okay, so we're currently looking at the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and it's at the start of the Sermon of the Mount, and Christ is speaking to his disciples, and so he's addressing primarily, remember, those who have come to Christ in repentance and faith. And we saw something of a shift last week from looking at those Beatitudes that were with regards to looking inwards, in a sense, poverty of spirit and mourning over sin, and a reaction to others, meekness, to then something in terms of positive, if you will, in terms of going after Christ with zeal to become more righteous. Remember, the Christian is one who has now the righteousness of Christ credited to him. He is justified. But we saw that, glorious though that is, that's just the start. By now, he now, by the Spirit of God work in him, and with the Christian's cooperation, begins to hunger and thirst after Christ, to feast on his pure delights, as we sang last week, and in so doing becomes more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and so more like God in terms of his character. Which leads us then to this week's beautiful attitude, or beatitude, which certainly produces beautiful action. This week then, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So this is about love in action. It's about our Christian life in how we are to others. And we're reminded, aren't we, in James 2:14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Then he goes on later to say, I will show you my faith by what I do. Someone said, people aren't so interested in what we believe, they're interested in what we are. Now, the two aren't against each other, but certainly a Christian is to show Christ. And this is getting to the nub of it this evening. These deeds are to be done in a certain way. Many people, we have philanthropists, showing that love, a Philadelphia love, a filial love rather, in the world. But this is as a result, remember, of this agape love. This is different altogether. This is a spiritual virtue, if you will, that is only really truly able to be shown by Christians, because this is Christ working through us. And to those who don't show mercy, James tells us earlier on, he tells us of the attitude we're to show this love, the attitude in which our deeds are to be done. He tells us in James 2:12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. So as with all the Beatitudes, there is such positive, but there's also a warning. The inference here, if we don't show mercy in our lives to others, how can we then expect to be shown mercy? One commentator described mercy as this. He tried to define it as this: love for those in misery and a forgiving spirit toward the sinner. Love for those in misery and a forgiving spirit toward the sinner. I think we can even broaden that out a little bit. We'll see that tonight in terms of mercy. But certainly, the way I want to go tonight is this. We show mercy because we have been shown mercy. That's true, isn't it? We show mercy because we have been shown mercy. And we have been shown mercy by whom? The God of mercy. This is so important, you see. And so that's the direction of travel tonight. I want to look at the God of mercy. I want to look at the fact that we've been shown mercy. I want to look at how we are to show mercy. And then finally, I want to look at the promise that is given to us in this text. So first off, the God of mercy. I love the children's chorus that we sing. Mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve. And the whole Bible, you know, the whole story of redemption in the Old Testament, Christ coming, wayward people and God showing mercy, judgment, yes, but underpinned by mercy. And even his own prophets had an issue with the amount of mercy that God showed in a remarkable passage. Remember Jonah? He was angry at God's mercy. Jonah 4 verse 2, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. You know, we can't show more mercy than God. God is a merciful God. And then speaking of Christ, the psalmist tells us, the one who remembered us in our lowest state, his love or mercy endures forever. And then let's look at Christ in the New Testament. If we've seen Christ, we've seen the Father. Let's look at Christ. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery. The men who brought her were cruel and harsh and ruthless. They were unmerciful. And in Proverbs, it tells us even the kind acts of the unmerciful are cruel. So they were unmerciful, but what a contrast. You see, Christ, after he had wonderfully dealt with those hypocrites, remember, they one by one went because they knew that they had sin. He told the woman that he didn't condemn her. But it's important, this, go and sin no more. So mercy isn't a sweeping of sin under the carpet. God's mercy and God's justice go hand in hand. Remember the parable he said about the man who had been forgiven a great debt. And then remember that man didn't go and forgive the small debt to the other man. But that was a picture, wasn't it, of God's great mercy to us, forgiving a great debt. What about the Pharisee and the publican? Remember the publican? God have mercy on me, a sinner, or God have mercy on me, the sinner. Remember Jesus said that man's sin and prayer, sorry, was answered. God showed mercy on him, the sinner. And what about the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10? It was the Samaritan, not the priest or the Levite, the religious people. It was the Samaritan who took pity. We're told he took pity. Then later on in the passage, he said, so who showed mercy? So by the man who took pity was the man who showed mercy. So to take pity is to show mercy. We're told in the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews 6:10, that God is able to help. No, it's not 6:10, it's Hebrews 2, sorry. Who is able to help those who are being tempted because he is a merciful high priest. God is even merciful then in his warnings. This is a picture we're building up. This is a God of mercy. Remember when Christ pronounced those woes? Remember? Woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. It's more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah than for you because you've seen these things and you've resisted. But those woes, although he was placing a judgment, it was merciful because if they'd responded, they would have been saved. Remember on the way into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he wept over those in Jerusalem. Those people who were in a few days' time going to crucify him and pay for his blood. He wept over them. He had compassion on them. So mercy, pitying, showing compassion, having love for those who are in misery. Think of him on the cross. What did he say on the cross? Those sayings on the cross, one of those sayings, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even those very people who were crucifying him, he was showing mercy to them. So this is the God of mercy, and we have been shown mercy, haven't we? If we're a group of believers tonight, we're celebrating the fact that God has shown us and continues to show us mercy. Lamentations 3:22, because of the Lord's great love or tender mercies, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Glorious verse, isn't it? And you'll notice, and you'll begin to notice, that depending on your translation, words in the Old Testament particularly are translated differently. Some have compassion, some have mercies, some have love. And we'll see that really it's very difficult to distinguish these things. the psalmist writing about historic events and personal experience, the psalmist who is able to say about the mercy that God has shown him, he frequently tells of the Lord's compassion, mercy, kindness, love, pity. This is all pointing towards this God of mercy. And the psalmist is able to say in Psalm 116, verse 1, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. And we can say that, can't we? As a group of his children tonight, we can say, we love the Lord. He heard our cry for mercy. And then in Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever, or his mercy endures forever. As a result of what we have been given, we are thankful, so thankful. Why, O Lord, such love to me? Why, O Lord, such mercy to me? And then in a wonderful Psalm 136, there's 26 verses, and after every line, that basically it would have been set up, so it would have been the person leading, telling of God's mercy, and the congregation joining in saying, his love endures forever, or his mercy endures forever. That must have been something to witness. A whole crowd of people in unison replying with his love, his mercy endures forever. In Ephesians, we're told to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We are those who have received mercy. And I want this evening, I haven't got illustrations tonight except this one. And it's a recurring illustration that I want us to have in our mind. And in my notes, I've kind of drawn it as stick men. And this is the illustration. This is the picture that is of God, who is above us, and he's picking us up. He's bending down. And Christ shows that, doesn't he? Remember the leper. He touches, he bends down and touches the leper. Remember, Christ is our mediator between God and man. Remember the psalmist, he took me, he lifted me from the miry clay, from the mire, from the dirt, from the stench, from unrighteousness, and he lifted me and set me upon the rock. And that's a picture of God toward us, isn't it? Think now, keep that in your mind, the picture of the one showing mercy, lifting, reaching down, taking pity on the one in need. That's what has been shown to us, isn't it? It's humbling. That's where we were. We have been rescued. We have been lifted. We have been raised up. We have been shown mercy. And so because we have been shown mercy, we are to show mercy. Luke 6:36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We are to be merciful. We are to be known for our mercy, our love, our compassion, our tenderness, our kindness, our pity, our mercy. Well, how does it show itself? How does this mercy show itself? Notice the different words now that I'm going to read from Colossians. Notice the different words that Paul uses. Colossians 3:12-15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's why you can't really distinguish love from mercy. Mercy, perhaps in terms of pity, but it's one and the same, really. And so no wonder the translators struggle to agree on words in the psalm. Some have tender mercy, some have love, because this is God's character. Now, are we to show mercy only to believers? You know, there was some who would imagine that, and some religions who say keep it within the family in that sense, and so on and so forth. I remember one time there was a petrol ban, probably about 20 years ago now, and in Preston it was only a certain group that were allowed petrol. you know, in this fuel station, and the truth will out. It showed itself. But we're not told that, are we? Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. But again, how is it manifest? You know, this is, remember, beautiful attitude, and it's now got to be manifested into a beautiful action. Remember what Christ said in the reading. Remember what Christ said: whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And what is it that they did? They fed someone. They gave something to some. Gave a drink to someone. They invited a stranger in. They showed hospitality. They clothed somebody. They gave to someone in need. They looked after someone. They visited someone. It's Christ in us, isn't it? We can do this. It's not us, but Christ in me. We are able to show this mercy because we have been shown mercy. Think again then of that picture. There's the person, and in mercy, he's reaching out. That's what we're to do to others. We are to reach out. It's the same picture. We are to, in that place, be as Christ, reaching out in pity to others. What about this? The start of Corinthians, the start of 2 Corinthians. What about this for a start of a letter? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Listen to this, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comforts we ourselves have received from God. Do you see what it is? We're a channel. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. So no wonder Dr. Lloyd-Jones at Sandfields in his deacons' meetings would simply say, is there anyone in need? Now, think of that then. Think of that. That picture of the person reaching out. Now, it's important to make note, it's pitying, not patronising. We can get that wrong, can't we? Not to patronise people. But equally, anybody can be in need. Sometimes we can switch off as Christians and think, well, they don't need it. They don't need mercy. They don't need help. They've got everything together. No, every person needs our mercy. We're to pity, we're to be kind, we're to reach out to every person that we come into contact with in one way or another. And so what are those ways? Well, there's loads, but just for example, I just want to kind of twig something here. What about speaking the truth in love? We touched on it Wednesday night, didn't we? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If we don't say something to somebody, if we don't rebuke them over a sin, now we've got to be careful, we've got to be prompted. This is the caveat to this is someone walking with the Lord. But you see, it's a mercy, isn't it? This is what I'm getting at. It can be a mercy to speak the truth in love, even if it's a word of rebuke. What about help then? Practical, however small. Oh, I can't do all of this. I can't raise all this. I can't do all of that. No, but we can do something, however small. And oftentimes it will be sacrificially. What about encouragement? That's a mercy. Not talking about flattery. We're talking about encouragement. And everybody needs encouragement. Have you encouraged someone recently? The person who does the videoing, the person who does the children's work, the person who does whatever it would be. Have you encouraged them? What about forgiveness? The person asks for forgiveness. Oh, we don't keep them hanging. We don't hold it against them. We don't seek to lean on them. We don't look down upon them. That person asks for forgiveness. We're there, ready to forgive. We're more ready to forgive than they are to ask for forgiveness. We have a forgiving spirit. Why? Because in our mind, we have that mental picture of Christ reaching down to us and we reach down to others. What about patience? Oh, some people are weak. Some people are stubborn. Some people are foolish. Think of the Christ with the disciples. Have I been with you so long and you still don't understand? Oh, a mercy to be patient. And then prayer. There's loads more you can add, but prayer. Everybody needs prayer. Our prayers, intercessory prayers, you see, on behalf of them, we're bringing them to the throne of grace. We're reaching down, as it were, and we're coming to our Father. Think of Moses, her and Aaron either side, and his arms are flagging as Joshua's fighting against the Amalekites. And there they undertake, as he's praying for the battle, there they undertake to lift his arms up. You see, we're to pray, and it's an act of mercy. Our attitude, you see, our attitude, this merciful attitude, leads to this beautiful action. So we're to show mercy. Right, finally then, the promise. We show mercy because we have been shown mercy by the God of mercy, who promises us mercy. Because it says here, doesn't it? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. But we're merciful because we've been shown mercy. So we show mercy. Let's say that again. We show mercy because we have been shown mercy by the God of mercy, who promises us mercy. And as with all the Beatitudes, there's a now and then. So what about now? Well, we're told, aren't we, his tender mercies, Lamentations 3:22, we're told his tender mercies are new every day. God still is merciful to us today. Traveling mercies, all manner of different mercies. He gives us these things. He withholds what we deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve. Now, if a Christian isn't merciful, it means what? It means they're not showing Christ. It means they're not walking right. It means they've become proud, self-righteous. It means they haven't hungered and thirsted after righteousness. It means they haven't grown and not growing. It means they're stagnating. They're in the doldrums. There's a hardening of the heart. They're not enjoying then God's mercies. You know, we think of it as a flat thing. Everybody's receiving God's mercies, yes, but not to the same degree. We need to think about that. Because there's no vital relationship, therefore we can't be receiving the mercies. Now, God in his mercy can speak to that person. But that's the thought, isn't it? Are we aware of God's mercies in our life? If we're not, then either we're not looking, or God is resisting the proud, but giving grace to the humble. Thank God, though, that we can say, thank God that we can give thanks for his mercies. Do you thank God for his mercies in your life every day? Every day. If his mercies are new every day, then surely our thanks for him must be, and thanks for those mercies must be, every day. That's the now. What about the then? Remember the reading. On the last day, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left will be separated. They'll be separated. And then to those on the right, listen to this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Isn't that glorious? You see, elsewhere we're told God is no man's debtor. Hebrews 6, verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. And what about Luke 19? Remember the parable of the 10 miners? I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. In other words, God's mercies are abundant, and he abundantly shows us mercy now, and he will abundantly show us mercy in the future. Blessed, happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that lovely new song, Our Sins, They